Boy, America is in turmoil. Much of the church is in confusion. Where do you go for moral sanity and spiritual clarity? Right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, where I am speaking to you right now from North Carolina, we're away from the coast, and weather's a little bit cool, but things are fine here. I know in other parts of the country where I'm speaking to you right now, you are in the midst of the early bombardment from Hurricane Sandy. So I hope you're in a safe place. And those of you who've never listened before, but you happen to turn the radio on and we're flipping around looking for some weather forecast, well, you'll get something more important right here. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. I have been looking forward to Monday. I had a blessed Sunday, had a relaxed Saturday, but I have been very much looking forward to today because my heart is overflowing with things I want to share with you. So open your hearts, open your minds. We're going to think through some really important and controversial issues today. Here's the number to call the way in, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the line of fire. Last night, we were in touch with family on Long Island to get my mom evacuated from her house, which is in one of the potential flooding areas, and got her resettled in a safer part of the island with family. And was talking to a pastor friend in Valley Stream, and he had just evacuated to another part of the island. So again, those listening that are in dangerous places, use wisdom. Not a time to prove how macho you are. Use wisdom. Proverbs even addresses this, that it's the fool who doesn't flee when the storm is coming. There is wisdom, and there's a time to be bold. Let's be bold standing up for Jesus, and let's use wisdom in terms of dealing with these natural disasters. All right, I want to read to you in a little while a letter, open letter, that Franklin Graham wrote, son of Billy Graham, as to why an evangelical Christian can vote for a Mormon. I want to read some comments from online evangelist Bill Keller as to why it's blasphemous, I don't know if you'd use those words, probably stronger words, to vote for a Mormon. And there is a clip from one reverend who is criticizing Billy Graham for standing for biblical values when it comes to politics, taking out full-page ads. They received some special funding from that, from some other organizations, and have taken out full-page ads in major newspapers around America, not saying vote Republican or Democrat, but saying they're key biblical values. You should vote based on those. Play that clip. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about a third party that needs to emerge, third party that can change everything in America. I have an article that'll be coming out on that, either within hours or by tomorrow. I want to talk with you more about that. But first, since we're in the midst of what some are calling a perfect storm and one that could bring tremendous damage, are these hurricanes or this particular hurricane, Hurricane Sandy, is this divine judgment? Is this a sign of divine wrath? If so, why is it coming where it is now? Another question for you. Is it related to America's treatment of Israel? As some claim that when we experience these natural disasters, it ties in with direct mistreatment of Israel. Or are those very thoughts completely contrary to who the God of the Bible is, especially in this New Testament age? I haven't raised this question in some time, but I want to raise it today, and I want to talk to you about this constructively. So as this hurricane is coming, it's already taken, 60 or so lives in the Caribbean islands. Is this somehow divine judgment, or is it foolish to think this way? I've read both already, and others tying it in with our treatment of Israel. Already seen these things. Want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, and let me do something I don't think I've ever done on the broadcast. But if you are listening in the New York, New Jersey area in particular, maybe on WMCA, WLIX, or listening online, if you are being affected by the storm right now, but you still got a connection and you can call in, or if the weather by you is just great, but you see where it's coming, let's get a quick weather update from some of those who are in areas that are being hit by Hurricane Sandy. Of course, I realize lines may be down in certain places already, or you may have had to move away from where you can listen, but I wouldn't mind a little weather report also so the rest of us can know what's happening from on the ground, 866-348-7884. But the question I asked at the end of the last segment, I want to ask again. When you have something of this magnitude, what weather forecasters and meteorologists are calling a perfect storm, you have something of this magnitude coming, is there a message in it? Is this divine wrath? Is it some type of judgment? I read one quote from a very committed believer on Facebook, and he said, this is the wrath of God. We need to wake up, and it's coming to one of the most godless parts of America. Now, you may be living there saying, what are you talking about, one of the most godless parts of America? America's got plenty of godless parts and plenty of godly parts, and it's spread out all over the country. Can you just make that broad statement? Others have said, well, when we mistreat Israel, these types of things happen. My question is, okay, what's the specific connection here? If something is to be judgment, and I have no biblical argument with the idea that God could come in hurricanes and earthquakes and that could be judgment. There are some who teach, not now, we're in the age of grace, there will be future wrath, but not current wrath. I do not find that scriptural. I have friends that hold to that. I respect them. I'd simply say they're wrong there. Jesus warned of the coming judgment on Jerusalem. That was certainly divine judgment, and that was 40 years after the cross. There are specific examples of divine judgment in the New Testament. It's even written in 1 Peter 4 that judgment begins with the house of God. And not only that, there are examples of wrath poured out. Wrath is never for God's people. Wrath is for the world. But it says in John 3:36 that whoever does not believe in the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. So yes, there is future wrath to come. I personally have no issue with the idea that there could be hurricanes, earthquakes that come as divine judgment. I have no reason to argue against that scripturally. However, if something is to be judgment-related, then there needs to be some type of specific warning. There needs to be something where people are told, if you don't repent of specific sin, if you don't turn away from specific evil, if you don't turn back to God, whatever the thing is, the message is, then there will be consequences. Picture if there had been prophetic voices all over the East Coast of America saying a storm of wrath is coming, a perfect storm is coming that will bring catastrophic damage on the East Coast of America. But if we'll turn to God and humble ourselves and turn away from our evil ways, he'll have mercy. And people scoff that and mock that. And then 3 months later, Hurricane Sandy comes. Then you'd say, wow, God was trying to speak to us. But just the idea that a hurricane coming must therefore be an expression of wrath, I question that. At the same time, I do not reject the idea. I do not reject the idea that there are implications for how America treats Israel. And there are some authors who have argued that if you look and compare, you'll see critical times when America sinned against Israel, followed by a natural disaster here in America. I do not reject that line of thinking. However, I don't see any direct correlation here. Now, maybe someone tells me I'm missing something that happened. Well, I follow things pretty closely in Israel. I don't find a direct correlation here, hence my question. Now, I have strong feelings about how we should respond in the midst of natural disaster. I have strong feelings in terms of what lessons we can draw from that. However, I am not just going to make the immediate statement that a hurricane coming to a certain part of America is therefore wrath. Now, yeah, we had an earthquake on the West Coast in this hurricane now. I don't know that we had an earthquake that was momentous enough to compare to the potential effects of this hurricane. But these things should get our attention. The question is, how should we think about them? I've got a bunch of other things I want to talk to you about. However, because we're in the midst of this unique time, because we have so many listeners to the Line of Fire broadcast on the East Coast, I felt it was important we address this first. To the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Lynn in Davie, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say I love your program. I listen to it every day when I'm waiting to pick up my daughter from high school. And I believe, I pray this prayer every day, and it's Psalm 79. Oh God, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have left Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants, they have given as food to the birds of the heavens. The flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to those who are around us. How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and the kingdoms that do not call on your name. They have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling place. I can read the whole thing, but that's the
gist
of it all.
Yeah, we get the... Yeah, those are very powerful words to hear read.
I think God's word is that if you reject me, I'm going to reject you. If you seek at me, I seek at you. And those who reject Israel is rejecting God because they were his chosen people. 4 years ago, this country had the ability to choose the word of God, and they choose the word of man. And now is the time for us to stand up, sir, and be counted, and tell God we love him, one nation under God. This is what this country would be, and under my belief, sir.
All right, so Lynn, what you would be suggesting then, if I can throw in my own comment here, and by the way, when someone with your accent reads the scriptures with the reverence with which you read them, it strikes me with real power. Just wanted to say that as an aside. But perhaps you'd be saying that these storms or this storm coming so close to the election is a wake-up call, whether it's wrath or not, a wake-up call, and with it a call to repentance. All right, Lynn, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Our friend Gyro in North Miami, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just recently heard, I'm not sure if you have any information on this, it's hearsay knowledge, so I'm not saying it's thou save the Lord, but I heard that the UN, supposedly they just passed a referendum or a notation or some type of order that most of the nations agreed on, that they would sanction any American companies that would do any business with Israel. And, you know, the UN is located in New York.
Yeah, Jaro, that was major. Got some reporting in the news. Basically, as I recall the article, Muslim initiated and backed by the UN, called for the boycotting of American companies that did business with us. It's complete outrage, an absolute outrage. Exactly. The question is, wouldn't a direct strike on the UN or a lightning strike in the UN or an earthquake that took out that block be a much stronger message than something that's, I mean, it's hitting New Jersey, it's hitting Philly, it's hitting parts of North Carolina, it's hitting, you know, Long Island.
Gyro,
I'm asking for folks to weigh in. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Jackie in East Orange, New Jersey, weather update for us. I'm all ears.
Well, we have the raging storm. It really looks like a rage out there.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm thankful that I'm here in the house, and I'm thankful I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in answer to what you're saying, I believe that this can be a warning from God. I'm a high school teacher, and I was just talking with some women about the extreme disrespect that the youth have for their elders. And as you said, Israel also, and also look at how the lack of respect for the life of the unborn. You know, there's a handful of things that are precious to God that America has turned its back on.
Yeah, and Jackie, first, stay safe, and thanks for the update there. If you've never been in the midst of a hurricane, the rage and intensity of it is overwhelming. But can we draw a direct line between that and specific behavior, specific parts of the country? We'll talk about it some more.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Before I change subjects and give you my own thoughts about how we respond to hurricanes and the like, let me grab one more call. CJ, New York City.
Hi.
First, how's the weather where you are?
For some reason, it's very quiet where I am. I'm in Upper Manhattan, but in Lower Manhattan, you can see the waves.
Really? And there's a complete transit blackout now, right? No trains, no buses.
There's no trains or buses running.
Got it. Yeah, it's very, very unusual for New York to come to a halt like that. Yeah, what's your take regarding Israel and the storm, CJ?
All right. John McTiernan was just recently on Sid Roth, and if you remember, you were on Sid Roth recently.
Sure, and I know John as well. I know his writings on the subject.
He brought up Obadiah 1:3, you know, whatever you do to Israel, what happened to you.
Yeah.
And he brought up about the two Bushes, and whenever they tried to do something to Israel, something happened to the United States, and something happened to them. Like the first Bush, when he tried to give land up to the Palestinians, Kenny Bunkport house was destroyed.
Yeah, John has quite a list. There's another author who's worked on this as well. That has quite a list of things. So I believe we should look at this. In other words, we need to look at these kinds of things. For example, when America really put pressure on Israel to get out of Gaza and tens of thousands of Israelis were forcibly pulled out, some dragged out of their homes, dragged out of the synagogues in Gaza. Immediately after that, Katrina happens and hundreds of thousands of Americans are displaced. Is there a correlation? That was one people were talking about as it unfolded. The question would be, what was the specific thing that would tie in with the northeast coast of the United States?
Well, if you remember, like in the Democratic Convention, remember they booed God and Jerusalem?
Yeah, and that took place in Charlotte. Charlotte's untouched, though, basically by the storm. By the way, I'm not arguing, CJ. I'm raising questions.
Also, like in New York, Bloomberg is giving $208 one-way tickets to the homeless to get out of New York.
Yeah, look, I am certainly not boasting about the godliness of the region or its standing with Israel. I'm simply raising questions. But CJ, thanks for the call and the reference to John McTiernan's book on this. And stay safe, CJ. Let me just give you my thoughts on this, okay? I know we could talk about this much more. At the very least, when these types of things unfold, they should get our attention in terms of, one, how fragile life is and how with all of our technology and all of our great achievements, just rain, wind can wipe us out and decimate us. That's number one. Number two, it reminds us of the awesomeness and judgment and God's power, even if this is not directly sent as divine judgment. It reminds us, when you see the intensity, the storm, the rage, the power, the fierceness of wrath that will be poured out, and should be a time when we examine our ways and turn to God asking for mercy, even if it is simply in the midst of need. I believe that is a right response that should happen in us, and often happens just automatically. Okay, I'm going to continue this discussion, not just into the next half hour, but into the next hour and a half. So continue listening whatever you need to do to continue getting the show, if you need to switch online to catch some of it or catch it later today, sdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire. Two things. And Joey, get that clip ready. We still have time to play it just to set the stage for what's coming. Number one, there is a third party in America that needs to rise up. That third party is the church. Oh, I don't mean as a political party, but I mean as ones whose primary citizenship is in heaven. Because of that, we live out godly lives here in the earth, and our primary identification is not with the Republican or the Democratic Party, but with the principles of God. Based on that, we live our faith out, and rather than being pawns and puppets of the political system, we should be prophets to the political system and pioneers of change. All right, I'm going to get into this clip on the other side of the break, but go ahead and play this. This was on CNN last week.
Okay, I'd like to talk about the Reverend Billy Graham. He's taken out more than one ad in Ohio in the newspapers there, and I just want to read you a bit of what he said. Let's see. This is a full-page ad he took out in Ohio and nationally urging Americans to vote for, quote, candidates who support the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman, protect the sanctity of life, and defend our religious freedom. First off, is this an appropriate role for a religious leader to take? Because he's walking right up to the line. He's not saying vote for Mitt Romney, but President Obama has embraced same-sex marriage, so he certainly means vote for Mitt Romney.
I think it's very curious. Reverend Graham took somewhat of a public vow after his endorsement of Nixon many, many years ago that he would stay away from partisan politics. And so for him to now emerge in such a visible way to engage in partisan presidential politics is curious. And I think one of the things that we know is that Reverend Graham is at a very seasoned and elder stage of his life. So we've got to wonder how much of this is genuinely coming from Billy Graham and how much is being fed to him and propositioned and heaped upon him by those who are around him. For example, his ultra-conservative son, the Reverend Franklin Graham. The reality is that it's for me, very curious that all of a sudden the evangelical Christian right wing is willing to stand in solidarity with Mitt Romney and his religion, not just his denomination, but his religion is curious and has theological perspectives that run in direct opposition to Bible-thumping fundamentalist Christians. And yet they cannot support or suggest that they won't support the president because of his perspective on marriage equality. I think it is just bipolar.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely.
We sure appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
What utter drivel. By the way, that was a black gentleman, Reverend. I'd never heard of him. I'm simply saying it was on TV just to identify. I'd never heard of him. I wonder if he's critical of Reverend Jackson and Reverend Sharpton for their political stands. Billy Graham, for decades, has spoken out about morality and purity. And now he's calling people to vote based on biblical values. And what, he's getting branded as senile and under the influence of his right-wing conservative son, Franklin? Wow. Yeah, say it out loud with me. Wow. We'll talk about that more in the broadcast. But I was preaching yesterday on the third-party calling of the church at our home congregation fire and reading quotes from my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. And I was reading quote after quote and things I'd written, said, I got to get this into the hands of listeners. I mean, you'll read this book. You won't put it down. It'll change your perspective and ignite a fire in you and make you far more effective for the Lord. We've republished this book together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God. You get two books for the price of one. And then my message, What Happened to All Your Joy? How to Walk in the Joy of the Lord and Live Out the Joy of the Lord. $20 postage paid. It'll save you $10 on top of things. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. The two books and the CD will ignite a fire in your life. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's time, friends. It's time for it is time for the third party to rise in America. This is the party, to use the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, as I often have before, which must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and critic of the state, he said, and never its tool. It's time that we who are followers of Jesus quit being tools, of the political parties. Stand for righteousness. Where we can back a platform or a candidate within the party, we do so. And we do so calling that candidate to account to live out the values that he or she has put forward with our primary affiliation, not to the party, but to God. Oh, let me take this one step further. My primary identity is not an American, not as being an American, but being a follower of Jesus. I love my country. It's a privilege to have been born in this country. Many of you listening have risked life and limb to protect the liberties and freedoms, not just of our country, but of other countries. And while there's much sin and unrighteousness in our nation, I deeply appreciate the potential of America and positive things we've done in the past. But my primary sense of identity is not being an American. My primary sense of identity is being a follower of Jesus. And if that calls me or causes me to confront my nation rather than just sing God Bless America, then that's what I'm going to do. In fact, there's a difference between Lord, Your Kingdom Come to America and God Bless America. The latter can imply just make us bigger and better. The former means God come and change us how we need to be changed. 866-34-TRUTH. For those who may have missed this clip that I played in the last few minutes, I will replay it in the next segment. But let me get right to the phones. Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks a lot, Mike. This is Jeff Plunk from Chelsea, Massachusetts, and you always do a good job, and God bless you. I want to talk about a third-party candidate who is a real believer, a real born-again Christian. Virgil Good. I mean, you know, go to his website, look up his website, and click on the part that says issues, compare the candidates. They'll have a comparison between Good, Romney, and Obama. Last election, I voted for Pastor Chuck Baldwin. I will vote for the believer over some antichrist Muslim communist like Obama. The guy's satanic. Anybody that votes for Obama, I question your salvation. Romney's not too bad, but I go with the born-again Christian. I want to go because I got to give an account to Jesus Christ for my vote. I have to stand before him, and even though Virgil Good doesn't have a chance, if enough people vote for him, the guy's voice can at least be heard. This is a watershed moment. I mean, the hurricane...
All right, so just one question, yes. Jeff, I'll just make the quick comment that the views of our callers do not necessarily reflect the views of the host. That being said, and obviously I agree with certain things you said, but here's my question. I have no problem whatsoever with someone casting a third-party vote as a matter of conscience or to make a statement. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Do you actually think, though, that enough people will do that? Right now it's maybe 1% or less that are voting third-party. That it's going to make a difference.
I'll answer your question in a very simple fashion, and I know I went a little strong here. I really believe this. God put candidates out there to test out the believers to see what they will do. Just like in the Old Testament, he allowed the false prophets to go through the land to test his people. It's just that simple.
All right, tell you what. I got to jump in because there's a break, but that's Jeff's point. Well taken. Could it be that the vote is a test for us as opposed to practical in terms of who gets in the White House? Jeff, thank you for the perspective. I appreciate it.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How is there going to be a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution? Is it going to come from the White House? Is it going to come from the Supreme Court? Is it going to come from the Congress? Oh, they can do things that are right and they can do things that are wrong, but the revolution has to come from the followers of Jesus, who are the ultimate counterculture party, the ultimate challenge to the status quo, with citizenship in heaven, leading revolutionary lives, not the way the world does it, not anger, hatred, intimidation, violence. No, no, God forbid. But by living like Jesus, by shining light in dark places, we turn the status quo upside down. We renounce the sin of the world. We live differently, and the change in us brings about change in others through the gospel. That's why I'm on the air, friends, to see moral, spiritual, cultural revolution founded, based on, fueled by the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to replay this clip of CNN interviewing Reverend Markel Hutchins. I'm sorry, I'd never heard of the gentleman before. He's billed as a civil rights, human rights activist. Listen to what he had to say, and then I want to get your response. It may not be until the next hour that I'm able to read Franklin Graham's argument as to why Christians should vote for a Mormon if the person is rightly qualified, and then attacks on that position from others. I may get to that this hour, may not, but otherwise it's where we're on 2 hours a day. All right, let's replay that clip. It's pretty brutal.
Okay, I'd like to talk about the Reverend Billy Graham. He's taken out more than one ad in Ohio in the newspapers there. And I just want to read you a bit of what he said. Let's see. This is a full-page ad he took out in Ohio and nationally urging Americans to vote for, quote, candidates who support the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman, protect the sanctity of life, and defend our religious freedom. First off, is this an appropriate role for a religious leader to take? Because he's walking right up to the line. He's not saying vote for Mitt Romney, but President Obama has embraced same-sex marriage, so he certainly means vote for Mitt Romney.
I think it's very curious. Number one, Reverend Graham took somewhat of a public vow after his endorsement of Nixon many, many years ago that he would stay away from partisan politics. And so for him to now emerge in such a visible way to engage in partisan presidential politics is curious. And I think one of the things that we know is that Reverend Graham is at a very seasoned and elder stage of his life. So we've got to wonder how much of this is genuinely coming from Billy Graham and how much is being fed to him and propositioned and heaped upon him by those who are around him. For example, his ultra-conservative son, the Reverend Franklin Graham. The reality is that it's for me, very curious that all of a sudden the evangelical Christian right wing is willing to stand in solidarity with Mitt Romney and his religion, not just his denomination, but his religion is curious and has theological perspectives that run in direct opposition to Bible-thumping fundamentalist Christians. And yet they cannot support or suggest that they won't support the president because of his perspective on marriage equality. I think it is just bipolar.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Thank you for being with me.
Reverend Graham, this is at a seasoned and elder stage of his life. In other words, he's senile, and he's being bombarded by these radical right-wing conservatives like his son Franklin, and they're basically co-opting his name, co-opting his voice, co-opting his name and his voice. Can I tell you from folks very close to Reverend Billy Graham that he feels these things passionately, and that even though he's approaching 94 years old, his heart beats for the Lord and for moral values, and he is not endorsing a candidate. He is urging people to vote based on biblical values, and I find it to be a gross insult that someone... What stature does this Reverend Hutchins have? I don't mean to demean him, but stature to attack in these ways a man of God who has served the nation and presidents for decades a man to whom presidents, including Obama, come to visit, either as candidates or presidents, for prayer, not for political endorsement. I find it disturbing that these statements can be made. What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Yvonne in Brooklyn. First, how's the weather where you are, Yvonne?
We got a few spurts of wind, but we're still kind of, I think we're kind of moderate. No, we're not too bad.
Okay, great. Well, stay safe, because the worst part of the storm is still to come towards your area. Yes, so your thoughts about that clip?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about the Hutchins statements, because I feel that basically he doesn't want, anything that seems like it's in opposition to say anything, even, you know, if it's based on principles, but yet he all out gave his opinion, I think, and then it's dealing with human rights. So I think that, you know, I think everybody should have the right, you know, to express their freedom without somebody saying, you know, it sounded like he was a little bit kind of not too happy. But, you know, that's their opinion. And I think that he could have done better, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, not going against what he think, knocking what somebody else has done, but, you know, laid down some principles of his own opinion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, Yvonne. To make the statement, you know, he's in a seasoned and elder stage of his life, meaning that because Billy Graham is so well respected in America, that we can't just bash him for putting this ad out. So what we basically have to say is that he's not really responsible for this ad because he's senile. He's not really with it, quote, seasoned and elder stage of his life, and therefore blame Franklin Graham, who's much more of a prophetic voice, that he's an evangelist as well, but more of a prophetic confrontational voice than his father was. So blame it on Franklin Graham. And it's, you know, that's the ugly part. If he wants to say, I take issue with Reverend Graham's statement, and since it points to a vote for Mitt Romney, I have a problem with them saying you can't vote for Barack Obama because of his stance on abortion, same-sex marriage in Israel, but you can vote for a Mormon. You're exactly right, Yvonne. Raise the issues without the attack, and that the attack further demeans Reverend Hutchins and takes away from any points that could be discussed. Hey, Yvonne, thanks for the call, and again, stay safe. Sarah in Spring, Texas, what's your take on the clip?
Yes, hello, my name is Sarah, and I'm calling because I hear the comment about Reverend Hutchins. I do not agree when he says that we support Mormon religion. I'm a Christian. What I voted for candidate Rodney because I support the values he support in regard to the sanctity of marriage and the protection of the unborn. So, and also, I do not believe that Bill Graham, it's by supporting or agreeing with some of the values of the candidate Romney, I do not believe that contradicts God's values, because God in the Bible, he's against the killing of innocents, mm-hmm. and also he, God, since the creation of with Adam and Eve, it was
and Sarah, yeah, just to jump in, I appreciate your perspective, which is saying that there are values for which you are voting, and those values are held to by Mr. Romney, and the fact that he's a Mormon, and some would say, well, he worships other gods. He's certainly a member of a cult that is not Christian. That is not your issue because he will not be putting forth those ideas. He's not being elected to put those ideas forth. He's not being elected to preach his religious beliefs, but rather to uphold the government and people of America and to follow a certain platform. So I do understand that, and I appreciate that perspective. And of course, many Christians agree with you, and there are others who still take exception to the Mormon issue, something to which we will return. All right, got a few minutes left in the program, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to devote extra time the next hour to the question of voting for a Mormon. Can a Christian vote for a Mormon? We've talked about it before, but election's getting close. We'll talk about that more in the next hour. But a whole lot of things I've got to cover before this hour is out.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hey, if you are regularly online, if you use Facebook, be sure to like my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Be sure to like that page. This way, when I post a new article or do a special interview or have something else of interest, you'll know about it. If you are on Twitter, then my Twitter handle is Dr. Michael L. Brown. So there are two L's in that, Michael L., Dr. Michael L. Brown. All is one word, of course, on Twitter. And then best of all is to make sure you're signed up for my free e-newsletter that will give you neat testimonies, links to new audio and video clips online, links to articles as they come out. You do that by going to askdrbrown.org and just signing up on the homepage. Okay, I want to just get back to a couple of other calls regarding the storm, questions of judgment, questions of America's relation to Israel, and does that tie in with the storm? We started the hour with that. I want to finish the hour with that. First with Doug in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. I appreciate your program so very much. But I was really shocked recently when I read that recently church leaders have asked Congress to reevaluate the aid to Israel, and this letter focused only on investigating Israel for accusing them of massive human rights violations. And the Jewish Council for Public Affairs said that the Jewish community was caught off guard that these three main churches in America, denominational, had signed this petition to Congress. One was the Presbyterian Church USA, one was the United Methodist Church, and one was the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But the final thing, I would just read this one sentence in closing. The Jewish Council for Public Affairs said earlier this year, the Jewish Council for Public Affairs challenged the Presbyterian Church to rein in a Presbyterian chartered group with the leader who encouraged Hamas to hold Galit Shalit hostage for leverage, and where a pastor said greed and injustice are a cancel at the very core of Zionism. That shocked me, you know. So
yeah,
I thought I'd better put it out.
Doug, there's no question that there are a lot of shocking things that have been put before Congress and UN and should cause concern, and some of these so-called mainline churches, which continue to disqualify themselves in terms of relevance and adherence to Scripture, have said all kinds of outrageous things. Of course, if you look at their numbers and influence, they do decline to the extent that they stand on the wrong side of these issues. But certainly, regardless of the connection to the storm, certainly cause for concern in terms of these statements even being made here in America. Doug, thanks as always for the call, and I recognize your voice, of course. Keep on the front lines of Jewish evangelism. All right, one more call. We're a little short on time. Robert in Dumont, New Jersey. First, how's the weather where you are?
It's actually mild right now. There's some gusts of wind from time to time, a couple tree limbs down, and it's drizzling, but nothing of biblical proportion at the moment.
Got it. All right, yes, your comments on the storm and spiritual connections as you see it.
Right. So, well, I mean, I like theology very, very much. I like being close to the heart of God. And the way I would read the Bible, I really think that if the Lord is looking to get our attention, it's going to be in a supernatural way. It's not going to be in a storm. And if we have more than the front of our automobile view of the of history, meaning we're looking down in history, down the corridor, some length of time, you'll realize, and you know this, you'll realize that there were incredible, incredible things that could be called judgments that were much more so than a hurricane. I mean, right after, fall of Rome, you had the Black Plague, which killed almost half the world. You know, you have unbelievable events that are just impacting every family member. And you would imagine, for example, Christianity defeating Rome, and you would think that there would be this flourishing period of almost millennial-like grace. But on the other hand, you have this other thing. So I really don't think there's a connection in that, although I do agree that America is moving far away, and America has been blessed.
Let me just jump in, Robert. I would actually love to hear more of what you had to say with your perspectives on history as well. But we're just short on time. But my thoughts, Robert, mirror yours in terms of we need to be very careful with what we say, and especially when you have human beings suffering, lives being lost, a tremendous damage in other ways to people's lives. We need to be very cautious before we speak for God, especially in generalities, or the idea that any type of severe natural disaster must be a sign of God's anger and judgment. But that being said, and again, Robert, thank you for the call. That being said, to reiterate what I said earlier in the broadcast, when these things happen, they should remind us, and I think this mirrors some of what Robert's saying as well, they should remind us of the frailty of life. They should remind us of the fact that there will be an awesome and intense judgment. They should cause us to search our own hearts, because when you face death, when you face calamity, it is a time for introspection. They should drive us to a place of prayer and of crying out for mercy, and yes, a recognition of where America needs God's blessing and help and grace. That we can all unite around. You know, there is just so much wrong teaching today, teaching that the gospel message is never confrontational, teaching that you can have Jesus as Savior without having him as Lord, what I call and have called for years connoisseur Christians and a gourmet gospel. My book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, deals with each of these issues. In fact, it was written out of a context of Nancy and I confronting a major grocery store chain where we lived in Maryland that claimed to be so family-oriented, yet they had all the trashy magazines like everyone else in the front. It came out of that some years back, and the chapters deal with the Savior is the Lord and the confrontational gospel and counterfeit grace and the truth about the wrath of God and how we put our trust in political parties rather than in the gospel. It's an essential book to have, and it's one you won't put down because each chapter will speak to you and light a fire in you. We've published it together with my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which many feel was one of the most important books I ever wrote. Two books for the price of one. And with it also, as I was praying and thinking about this, we're adding in an audio CD of a message I preach called Whatever Happened to Your Joy, where you can examine your life and see where joy is lost and how to recover that joy. All these resources, just $20, postage paid. If you can help with an additional gift, awesome. But take advantage of this, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our online bookstore, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the online bookstore to order. Again, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, yes, in times of storm and hurricane and disaster, we should recognize the frailty of life. We should recognize our need for God. And yes, we should call out to him to have mercy on our land. Boy, America is in turmoil. Much of the church is in confusion. Where do you go for moral sanity and spiritual clarity? Right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, as Hurricane Sandy lashes different parts of the United States now, just saw some pictures that Nancy sent me with heavy flooding right near where my mom lives. We were able to get her with some other family in a safer part of Long Island. As the storm is lashing the east coast of America and making its way up the northeast coast of America, it is time for us to consider our ways and to sort some critically important issues out. And that's just what we're going to do right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on the broadcast. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In the first hour, I asked the question, when we see these storms, something like Hurricane Sandy and then an earthquake on the West Coast just a few days back, does that mean God is judging America? Is this a sign of sin in our midst? Is it a sign that we're not properly standing with Israel, as some have argued that there's a corollary between these types of things and our treatment of Israel? And what I said was that, although I have no argument with the idea that a storm can be a sign of God's wrath or an act of judgment from God, the same with an earthquake or a tsunami, based on Scripture, I agonize over the loss of life and those who suffer. But from a scriptural viewpoint, theoretically, I can accept that storms, hurricanes, can be acts of divine judgment. And when they happen repeatedly or in short periods of time or in unusual ways, Hurricane Sandy, what people are calling a perfect storm, I can see when these things happen in a repeated level that all the more it gets our attention and stirs us. And yes, I do believe at times there has been a direct correlation between calamities that have hit America and very wrong acts on our part having to do with Israel. I believe that. I believe there's good evidence for it. I can't argue for it all the time, but I believe there's evidence for it. That being said, and I'm not getting into discussion about this hour, but I just want to sum this up for you. That being said, because I'm not aware of clear warnings that were given to that part of America, where some of my family still lives, the East Coast of America, because I'm not aware that clear warnings were given to New York and to New Jersey and to Maryland and other areas being affected, I cannot simply say that this is an act of judgment or wrath. If there had been prophetic warnings because of our sin that judgment was going to come in the form of a storm if we didn't repent, or God would send a perfect storm and then these things happen, you better believe I would say that these were warnings and we didn't heed them and here it is. Or if there had been warnings and then there was massive repentance that broke out as the storm drew near and then miraculously it turned away, I would have no problem saying that that was the case, that God was at work bringing judgment and heard the cries of repentance and had mercy in accordance with principles laid out in Jeremiah 18. Where if God is going to send blessing to a nation and they continue in sin, then he'll withhold it and send judgment. If he's going to send judgment and they repent and do good, then he'll withhold the judgment and send blessing. But I don't see any direct correlation here that is visible and marked in such a way that we can say this is obviously wrath or judgment. What I do say is that any storm like this is a wake-up call, that any storm like this reminds us of the fragile nature of human life, that any storm like this gets us searching our hearts because we see the intensity of what will ultimately be future wrath. It may not be wrath now, but will ultimately be wrath, and reminds us of how much we do need God and how wind and water can just wipe us out. Having said that, we're going to focus now on a major election issue. Franklin Graham has gone public and said evangelical Christians can vote for a Mormon.
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. When I spoke last week at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association chapel meeting in Charlotte, got into a discussion with one of the leaders there about Franklin Graham's open letter. This was about 1 week old, where he explained why evangelical Christians can vote for Mormons. I want to read this to you and then get your response. October 22nd, so 1 week ago today, Franklin Graham said, "I pray that all Christians and God-fearing Americans will put aside labels and vote for principles, God's principles, that for many years have resulted in his blessing upon our nation." I would say this before I read his open letter. I would say this. If we were hit by hurricane after hurricane and earthquakes and other kinds of storms and ravaging tornadoes, and we were hit in unprecedented ways by these things, you better believe that it would be a wake-up call to the nation, or it should be. It would signify something being terribly wrong, because these things should not be happening if we're right with God. So just wanted to make that statement on the heels of Franklin Graham talking about principles that have resulted in God's blessing on our nation. Franklin Graham says this, and feel free to call in if you agree or if you disagree. I'm going to read some quotes from a gentleman who passionately disagrees. "This question, can an evangelical Christian vote for a Mormon? This question has stirred much debate," Franklin Graham says. "Historically, Christians have voted for candidates of different faiths, including Mormons, based on how they live their lives and how deeply committed they are to upholding the U.S. Constitution. Remember, God ordained government, and we are not electing a pastor-in-chief, we are electing a commander-in-chief. George Washington was Episcopalian. Abraham Lincoln had no religious affiliation while he was president. John Kennedy was Catholic. And Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton were outspoken Southern Baptists." By the way, I'm interjecting my own thoughts. Jimmy Carter was anything and has been anything but a long-standing true friend of Israel. And obviously, Bill Clinton had his serious moral failures. We grieve over both of those things, but remember, they both were, and I would say to this day, Jimmy Carter is a committed Southern Baptist. Franklin Graham writes, "Over a period of 223 years, our nation's cities and states have been governed by people of many different faiths, including Mormons from both the Democratic and Republican parties. Orrin Hatch, a Mormon, has served this nation as an effective senator. And George Romney, Governor Mitt Romney's father, was one of the great governors of Michigan. His religion never interfered with governing, but his personal faith did define his strong marriage, family values, and personal integrity. I believe this is the same for Governor Mitt Romney. While there are major differences in the theology of evangelical Christians and that of Mormons, as well as those who practice the Catholic faith or the Jewish faith, we do share common values that are biblically based. Americans must remember that while our nation was founded upon godly principles, we do not have a state religion. Rather, our Constitution provides for the freedom to worship without interference of government. Our forefathers shed their blood to win this right. We must be committed to electing a commander-in-chief who will protect this liberty and uphold the Constitution as one nation under God, and who will ensure God's moral law will not be violated by changing the law of the land." Again, continuing to read from Franklin Graham's open letter, his article, "We are at a profound crossroads. Our secularized society has shaken its fist in God's face and rejected his very name. Like Joseph and Daniel, we must not compromise when government clashes with the worship of God. We must not silence our voices to God's law. We must use our influence to elect those who will govern with respect for the sanctity of marriage is between one man and one woman, the sanctity of life, and yes, the protection of God's beloved nation, Israel. We must not cast votes for officials, whether candidates of the Democratic, Republican, or Tea Party, or of a religious persuasion, that are against these principles of God. We have in the past elected Christians who have defied some of these very principles. We need something like what Jerry Falwell did in the 1980s. We need a moral majority made up of Christians, Jews, Mormons, Catholics, and many others of faith to come together to take a stand for our religious freedoms and rights. In recent days, President Clinton said that President Obama, quote, has a plan to rebuild America from the ground up. But God-fearing Americans have no desire to see America rebuilt, but rather restored. To rebuild it would be to create a new nation without God, or perhaps under many gods. This was never the intent of those who shed their blood for the freedom to worship as one nation under God." I pray that all Christians and God-fearing Americans will put aside labels and vote for principles, God's principles, that for many years have resulted in his blessing upon our nation. So, can a Christian vote for a Mormon? The answer is yes. That's what Franklin Graham wrote. What do you think? 866-348-7884. Perhaps the most outspoken critic of Mitt Romney has been Bill Keller. Liveprayer.com, his website. He writes, why would anyone who claims to be a follower of the true Jesus of the Bible, not the foul Jesus or the false Jesus of the Mormon cult, be working hard to elect a fifth-generation high priest of a Satan-worshipping cult leading souls to hell with a false gospel? I guess if you only care about temporal politics, that is great. It is no wonder this election is really about God's continued judgment on this wicked nation. When you have so-called Christians deceived into thinking a Baal worshiper is okay, I guess nobody cares to look at the fact that if God does allow Romney to win, it will mainstream his cult. And conservative estimates are that 1 million people in this nation alone will join his cult without him saying a word, meaning 1 million souls that will end up in hell. But hey, who cares about souls? The saddest part is that the real problems in this nation are not political, they are spiritual, and whichever one of Satan's sons is allowed to rise to power, it won't matter. Unless this nation turns back to God and his truth, we are finished. At least there are over 1.5 million followers of Christ who will not compromise and certainly will not vote for either of these tools of Satan. And Bill Keller's website for that is votingforjesus.com. I agree with Bill Keller, without question, that we must turn to God in repentance, and that's the only hope of the nation, and that the church must humble itself. We must humble ourselves. Christian leaders must. We must recognize our need. We must recognize the desperate state America's in, more desperate state than any other time in my memory in 41 years in the Lord. I know the 60s were chaotic. Nancy and I were talking about the level of rebellion against authority and the generation gap that was prevalent in the 60s and the explosion of drug, sex, rock and roll, and Eastern religion and all that that brought with it. That being said, the things that were radical in the 60s are just normal every day today. And many of the radical leaders of the 60s became leaders in government, in education, in business, and so have helped shape America in terms of the radical ideals of the 60s. We're in a critical situation, without doubt. This election is important, without doubt. But is Franklin Graham right that we're voting for a candidate for certain principles, and if that candidate upholds those principles, regardless of his or her faith, that it will bring God's blessing to the nation? Or are we casting a vote in that sense for Satan? Bill Keller saying, of course, you cannot vote for President Obama, but he's also saying, of course, you cannot vote for Mitt Romney. Therefore, just put in a protest vote, vote for Jesus. We have addressed this in the past. I've said we would address it again, and we are doing that right now. 866-348-7884. Let me grab one call before the break. Maurice in Somerset, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Ms. Boker. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I appreciate it. And first and foremost, since you stated this, your mother, what is her name?
Her name is Rose.
Father God, we bless you and thank you for divine protection over Rose. In Yeshua's name, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. We continue to give our blessing, Dr. Brown, peace. And we need to understand as believers,
thank
it
you,
is
sir.
Not in this country, thank you, Yeshua, it's not in this country to be politically correct. It's time for the world to be biblically correct. And as the scripture says, it instructs us to pray for those in authority and at all times that they may be filled with truth. They need to understand that they are God-fearing and recognize that they're accountable to him for each decision and act, and that's the only true living God. And as God's word says, he'll bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. This storm here that's going on now, we need to thank God for, because what Satan is meant for evil, God is meant for good. People need to come and know the true and living God. Without Yahweh, Yeshua, the Holy Spirit, without Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. And God has blessed you to continue to be a faithful and committed brother, to continue to feed his sheep. Thank God for you. And it was a pleasure to see you at Beth Israel.
Yes, sir. I remember it. And do I remember correctly that you blessed me with a lovely dress shirt? Was that you?
That was Yeshua that blessed you through me.
All right. Hey, I didn't want to embarrass you, but just wanted to let you know, I remembered meeting you, sir. The name stood out. God bless you. Thanks for the prayers, as always, and for the reminder that the nation needs Jesus, Yeshua. That's the ultimate answer. That's where our emphasis needs to be. Okay, we come back, friends. We will discuss the letter of Franklin Graham. I'm looking at some intense interaction. Somehow I was on this email list, and I've been glancing at the discussion about whether you could vote for Mitt Romney or not, and Bill Keller has some very strong things to say about it. One man says this: as an ex-Mormon family, I can understand how you feel. I could not be less excited about an election, but a Mormon president opens the door for discussing Mormonism, allows a spotlight to be shined on Mormonism, and that will not be good for them. That's another perspective. Could this be used for evangelistic purposes?
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, where by God's grace we seek to provide a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. So we will talk through difficult issues here. And look, there are some radio shows I used to listen to or hear from time to time, or some TV newscasts, and may still watch some of those. And when I do, my blood boils, or my blood would boil, and I'd have to just get a right, peaceful perspective again. And the purpose of this show is not to get your blood boiling in an unhealthy way, but rather to put issues on the table and sort them through. We're together as believers, we can talk about anything. We can talk about anything that's relevant to our lives and anything that's relevant to our society, and we can have massive differences and talk them through as believers. That's something I seek to mediate and to emulate here on the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Diane in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you this evening?
Doing very well. How about you?
I'm good. I just called to say that I disagree with Reverend Billy Graham, and I agree with Bill Keller. I will be voting the way he's voting.
Got it. By the way, that letter was from Franklin Graham. But you disagree. You feel that you cannot vote for a Mormon, so you're going to specifically cast a vote for Jesus.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, and so you don't make the distinction then. This is not to challenge you, just to understand, Diane, because I respect that position. You feel that to vote for a Mormon as president is to make a spiritual or a religious statement of sorts?
I do,
yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Diane, let us agree on this, that whoever we vote for, we're not putting our trust in that person, and Jesus is the only hope of the nation, and it's up to the Christians to bring about change more than the political establishment. Hey, Diane, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Rudy in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, this is Rudy Hennett. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for your ministry, and also to say that I agree with Franklin Graham, what you read in his letter. In fact, I'd already gotten a copy of a letter from him concerning this. We're not selecting a pastor. We're selecting someone that hopefully will lead this country in a financially and morally sound basis.
Right. And based on that, you would say if we do that, then God will bring blessing to our nation, regardless of whether the national leader is a cult member or not. If he was an atheist, would you be able to vote for him if he held to the exact same values that Mitt Romney does for family and economics and so on, but he was an atheist? Would you be able to vote for him?
I'm not sure that at this point. Depends on who his opposition would be.
Got it. All right, well, let's say he was running against Mr. Obama. Would you be able to vote for an atheist that espoused the Republican Party?
Yes.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Hey, Rudy, it's great to hear from you, and thanks for your love and support for our ministry. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Brett in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Brett, are you getting hit by the storm there at all?
Yes. We're a little inland, so it's not so bad.
Got it. All right. Yeah, what's your take on Franklin Graham's letter?
It's not so much Franklin Graham's letter in general, but I tell you, and I don't like to talk about other people, but I listen to Dr. David Jeremiah a lot, and last week he made the statement that it's not our job to vote for somebody that is necessarily a Christian or not a Christian, but basically I guess he was trying to insinuate that God has that part, because we all talk about how we know God has everything under control, and you know, we could go off into the deep end about predestination and that kind of thing, but I don't want to talk about that. But the thing is, to me, you know, we've had all our troops and everything that have gave their lives for our freedom, for us to have the right to vote. So we have to choose something. And somebody might argue that you're choosing the lesser of two evils, and can you vote for a man that doesn't believe in God? Does he not believe in God, or does he just not believe in the same God, or does he think that you have to talk to God a different way? And that's my basic premise of this whole thing. I think that we have to vote, and we have to vote for somebody that has basically the same morals as we do and that type of thing. And as far as the God part goes, I mean, I'm a God-fearing person, but I'm not necessarily saying that someone has to believe in God to be able to leave the country. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Got it. All right, Brett, thank you for weighing in clearly. And I'm going to be letting others respond. I want to hear from as many of you as possible. So stay right there. We will be getting to your calls shortly. I want to make this larger statement. The biggest issue in America today is not the state of the economy. And it is not even who gets elected, although the economy is important and who gets elected is important. The biggest issue is the state of the church. We have departed largely from gospel foundations. We have departed largely from the preaching of repentance. We have departed largely from living out biblical values. That's why I wrote the book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. You know, I wrote this book 20 years ago, and I picked it up and was reading parts of it in preparation for ministry yesterday at my home congregation, Fire. And as I was going through it, I thought, I've got to get this into the hands of my listeners. The chapters on counterfeit grace and on connoisseur Christians and a gourmet gospel and separating the wheat from the chaff and the call to go for souls and even the encouragement of forward march. Here, listen to this quote from D.L. Moody. What a difference in the men who go into battle intending to conquer if they can and those who go into battle intending to conquer. J. Hudson Taylor, we are a supernatural people. Born again by a supernatural birth, we wage a supernatural fight and are taught by a supernatural teacher, led by a supernatural captain to assured victory. Come on. Every chapter in It's Time to Rock the Boat, all 16 chapters, begin with opening quotes. Those opening quotes alone are worth the price of the book. Here's the best news, though. When we republished this book recently, we republished it together with my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which many people feel is one of the best books God's graced me to write. So you get two books for the price of one. But today, if you'll take advantage of this resource offer, we're also giving you with it a CD, a message that I preach, an audio CD. You can listen to it in your car or on your computer. What Happened to All Your Joy? It's a message that'll help you look at your life to see if and where and how joy has been lost and how to recover the joy of the Lord. I just felt it would just infuse life together with these books. So it's about $30 of material with postage. You can get it $20 today, postage paid. It's Time to Rock the Boat, together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, together with the audio CD, What Happened to All Your Joy. Call right now to order this special resource, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website and order there. Ask DrBrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. A whole lot more to come. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I got a question for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Those of you who say, I will vote for Mitt Romney, and by the way, if the election was today, I would be voting for Mitt Romney, with caveats and with concerns, but I'd be voting for Mitt Romney. If you say, I would vote for Mitt Romney even though he's a Mormon. Now, you might be a Mormon and say, that's why I'm voting for him, but assuming that the vast majority of you listening are not Mormons, if you say, I would vote for him because of his moral stance, his stand with Israel, because I believe he'd handle the economy better, and I'm not concerned about the fact he's a Mormon because I'm not electing him to be the pastor or the pope, but to be the president, would you vote for an atheist? Would you vote for an atheist who held to these same values? Would you vote for a Muslim who held to these same values? Just asking a question. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. I won't be talking about Hurricane Sandy and questions of divine judgment and how do we view these things. Talked about that in the last hour and briefly at the beginning of the last half hour. Although we are praying for God's mercy and grace and those caught up in this potentially deadly storm, we had to get my mom out of her house in southern Long Island to other family in a safer part of Long Island. In the midst of it, it's always healthy to pray that people will wake up to eternal realities because these storms help us recognize how frail we are, regardless of whether it's just a natural disaster, regardless of whether it's sent by God as judgment, regardless of whether Satan sent it, if he had the power to. Just putting out those regardlesses. But I'm focusing again on the election issue. I've got an article that'll probably come out tomorrow as opposed to later today, and we'll tell you about it tomorrow where you can look for it, about a third party that we already have, a viable third party in America, and it's called the church. We are the ones who should be the ultimate counterculture party. We are the ones who should be not puppets of the political system, but prophets calling for reform. And our primary allegiance should not be with Republican or Democrat, or even with being American. Our primary allegiance should be as followers of Jesus, whose citizenship is in heaven, based on which we come with a heavenly eternal perspective and bring it to bear here on earth. 866-34-TRUTH. My specific question for you, though, is focused on this. Franklin Graham has written an article as to why evangelical Christians can't vote for Mormons. There are people like online evangelist Bill Keller who are urging Christians to vote for Jesus as a protest vote, saying you cannot vote for either candidate. And he says that those who vote for Mitt Romney are standing with a Baal worshiper, and nothing will change regarding your rights to share the gospel. He said that if we support Mitt Romney, then we're opening the door for Mormonism to become normalized, and if it becomes normalized, that conservatively 1 million Americans will become Mormons. Others have said, what are you talking about? This will put a spotlight on what Mormons really believe, what's really taught, sometimes behind closed doors or in more inner circles or in doctrinal books that many Mormons are not aware of. It will expose Mormonism and will be a great opportunity for evangelism, and will either call Mormons to take a step and to truly become followers of Jesus and to renounce error and to adhere to the scriptures alone, or it will expose the error that is there and help others not to make the mistake of thinking that it is Christianity. But Franklin Graham's bottom line is that we're not voting for a pastor, we're voting for a commander-in-chief. And if he stands for certain values, and if his own faith helps him to stand for those values, whether he's Catholic or Jewish or Mormon or evangelical Christian, that's still positive. Would you vote for that same person if he was an atheist, though? If he was a Muslim? We will get back to your calls. As soon as we come back, your calls are next.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I am going straight to the phones and getting your input on the questions that we have raised. Let me start with Art in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, did you mention Arthur?
Yes, in Atlanta. Okay. That's you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're black conservatives, have been for so long, and we don't apologize for that, but it becomes very problematic. But to make a statement.
Sure.
About this whole thing. First of all, I went to a Midwestern school, and I ran into people like Obama at the university where I attended. And in fact, they were there from Chicago, and it concerned me. It concerned me then. It still concerns me now. But what? And I started not to vote at all because I cannot accept Mormonism. I can't accept someone who ideology I feel is far left. My wife said to me, "David, not voting is a vote for Obama." And when she told me that, that's when I decided I'm going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But the most alarming statistic that I find in the so-called conservative movement, coalition, especially those of us who name the name of Christ, because we experienced real revival in Kansas, and some of the countercultural type people confessed to me that they were up to something else. Underneath their labeling. In other words, they came to us with certain labels, but really right. They were about something else. And
So what is it then that you're saying that alarms you, though, the most?
The most alarming statistic is when I ask Christians, red, yellow, black, and white, how many of you are voting, or excuse me, how many of you are praying for Obama? I get a very cold answer. Very few of us are doing that.
Yes, sir.
On a regular basis. Very few of us are weeping for this man and his children. The way my parents came to Christ is when I came to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the way my family came to Christ, I have a cousin who went to Harvard who became saved. Her brother got saved out of Newark, New Jersey. I've seen a revival at the University of Kansas because people prayed.
Yes, sir.
And that is the most alarming statistic. I guarantee you, if you ask the average Christian, especially, I hate to say among our Anglo-Americans, how many of you really have tears and the burden for Obama? Very few people carry.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, so Art, I understand your deep conviction that you have to vote because you do not want to see Mr. Obama reelected. So it's okay. In this context, no one can accuse you of some kind of bias here. It's in that context that you bring a rightful rebuke to many of us to say, okay, you speak out against the president, you're against his policies, you don't want to see him reelected. If you took the energy in speaking out and put it to prayer, what would happen? Art, you're 100% right. I believe we have really been lacking in the body here, that we've been much more passionate in speaking out. And I say we just to put us all in the same class together and fail to pray the way we should for Mr. Obama, for probably any of our presidents, but in particular, Mr. Obama. Thank you, Art, for raising that. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. Hey, I just sent some pictures. Nancy sent me a few more pictures during the break. I was looking at flooding different parts of Long Island, and the worst of the storm hasn't really hit yet. So I know New York is really shut down right now, but stay safe.
No one can, let's see, the trains are shut down,
yeah.
The buses, all of the two tunnels. So everyone is being forced to be still and know that he is God.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that the intercessors and pastors were encouraging people throughout the East Coast and those that can join with us to say, Lord, what are you saying in this storm? And what do you want to accomplish? And that this nation would understand that they cannot ignore God or relegate him and not have to face the fury. You know, today, Michael, they were going to do in the public schools, they were going to do opposite dressing. encouraging the children to make believe that they were they were a boy if they were a girl, or a girl if they were a boy. And, you know, really doing this indoctrination of homosexuality. So there's a lot of things behind this.
You know, I was aware that that was coming, and then lost track of the timing of it.
Today was the day.
That's
and God said, no way. If the parents aren't going to stick up for my vulnerable children in the schools, if the pastors aren't going to, you know, rise up and say, no way, not on our watch, I'm going to do it. You don't do it, I'm going to do it. And then other things that are happening, because you think about the quake. Oh, man, Michael, I want to talk to you about Mitt Romney. Will I still have time?
Well, we'll tell you what, just because I got the phone lines jammed, we need to switch over to the Mitt Romney
issue. Yeah, let's do the Mitt Romney thing.
Yeah, so so the question, if do you agree with what Franklin Graham says, that it's fine for an evangelical Christian to vote for a Mormon who shares our values?
I believe that that is the answer. And what I'm trying, what I'm sharing is from, if it's okay with you, I attended the Providence Foundation, and if it's okay with you, I can give people that are listening the site where they can read this article in full.
Sure.
And they're talking about Mitt Romney and Obama and how they contrast. It's the Providence Foundation .com. Providence Foundation, not the Providence Foundation .com. But the key points that I saw in his article is Romney is pro-life and upholds the biblical family. Obama embraces the ideals of the Christian faith, but he has hostility towards the Christian faith. He was saying that Romney also has a belief that we have to have freedom and liberty in the nation, and he's not going to force businesses to accept, say, the mandate of giving pills and things like that for abortifacients.
Yep.
And the other thing that I thought was chilling is that Obama believes that socialism is the way to go. Whoever controls the land and the children are going to rule the nation. And where Romney believes that we have to have a biblical sense of family, Obama believes that the children have to be indoctrinated by the state.
Yep, so those are...
And
those
there's
are,
many more things I could say.
All right, so providencefoundation.com. Hey, always good to talk to you, sister, and stay clear before the Lord these days of chaos and crisis. I know you will. 866-34-TRUTH. Dee Dee in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I would like to make a comment, and that is people, no matter who they are, what color they are, that calls themselves Christians, you make your stand with Christ within yourself, and your testimony, you give it out, and through prayer. Prayer is the greatest tool that God has ever given any of us. And yes, I pray for our president and all men in authority. That is what the Word of God tells us to do. He even tells us to pray for our enemies and those that even place hurt upon us and whatever. We're to pray for one another. That is that's the gospel. But I believe in my heart, Christians that are saying they're going to vote for Jesus Christ, are they really voting for Jesus Christ? In their heart, it's what is in your heart that counts, and your testimony for the Lord. Instead of saying, I'm going to vote for Jesus Christ, vote for your morals. And God has given us the opportunity to listen to two men, one that wants to take God out of our nation and one that wants to keep God in our nation, and our moral standing. And but I think some people that say their vote for Jesus Christ is hiding behind a cloak. They want things their way. Well, how things God's way? He's given us a man, no matter what religion he is, no matter what color he is, no matter what race he is. It's the standards that he's standing for, the morals of our country. Because if not, we're all sunk, and we're going to be slaves to that one that rules over us.
And I firmly believe in what I'm saying because I am a born-again believer, and Jesus Christ is not on the ballot. There's only Obama and Romney. And I do believe in what Brother Franklin Graham has said, and that's my statement for the day. And I thank you, and I appreciate you letting me be on your radio station today.
All right, Dee Dee, thank you for your statement for today. God bless you. What do you think about what Dee Dee had to say? We come back. Your calls are next. Stay with us. As always, you can weigh in with your opinion and even take some time to do it and get into back and forth dialogue by going to AskDrBrown.org and just clicking on the line of fire. Today's show, you can weigh in all you like if we don't get to your calls, but we'll do our best to get to as many as possible. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, straight to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Paul in Fort Myers. All right, we lost Paul in Fort Myers, Florida. We lost Ken in Gresham, Oregon. What do you know? They were all there moments ago. Victorine, also in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Oh, yes, you are. Thank you so much for taking the call. I'm calling with really like a heavy heart. I'm just so dismayed with how Christians, you know, seem to be so distracted over the election and basically the things of this world. We're in the army of God. You know, we fight a different war. And we're not supposed to be so embroiled in this nonsense. Because the things that are written, the things that have been foretold, the things that God has said will come to pass, they're coming to pass. And we need to be on our job. We need to be doing what we are supposed to do. We're not supposed to be all up in this. And it's you know, with what Dr. Graham said, why does some, you know, person have to tell some other person how to vote? It's your vote is your God-given, you know, it's your God-given right.
Yeah, well, let me just jump in, Victorine. First, I absolutely agree with the first part of your statement, as far as we get so worked up over these things. I do talk about them on the air, but my constant emphasis is to say that we need to put this energy, this passion, this focus into living like followers of Jesus, being disciples, reproducing disciples. And the article that I have that should be out tomorrow is about the church being the real third party that's supposed to bring about change through the gospel. And while we vote, that's secondary to our larger calling. The only thing I would say, though, Victorine, about Billy Graham making a statement, he's almost 94 years old. He's seen America deteriorate in many ways in his lifetime. He's always had a burden about these issues and is simply saying, hey, as you're sorting these things through, there are three things to look at: sanctity of life, preservation of marriage, and standing with Israel. So evaluate those things as you vote. I think that's healthy. Those are my three biggest issues as well.
Dr. Brown,
but then ultimately, we have to work it out ourselves.
But Dr. Brown, do you really think that the things that are happening today are you? Do you really think that what happens at the poll is going to reverse? You know what the Bible says is going to happen?
Well,
I mean, the
Victorine,
Bible has been very specific in what's going to happen, and it's you know.
Yeah, well, let me answer your question, and I do want to try to get to a couple of other callers, so I apologize for jumping in. Number one, when you look at Scripture, you see how leaders often influence the state of the nation, for better or for worse. So that's one thing. So yes, I believe a good leader could bring blessing, a bad leader could bring cursing, even though we're not a theocracy, we're not ancient Israel. I don't look for Mitt Romney, say if I vote for him, to turn the tide and turn America back to God. I would look to him to stem some of the negative tide at best. But I don't see a specific timeline, Victorine. You may differ with me here, that says that we can expect this to unfold prophetically and it's inevitable and we have the exact time frame. I was told that when I got saved 41 years ago, and I'm still waiting for some of those things to fall into place. But hey, we can have different perspectives. Where we agree is that our emphasis and thrust needs to be being disciples, making disciples, living out the gospel. Thank you for the call. Let's put our passion there. Julie in Mesa, Arizona. We're short on time, but please dive right in.
Good afternoon. My name is Julie from Mesa, Arizona. You can tell by the accent I'm not from here. I'm from Australia.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to just give you my opinion regarding Franklin Graham's comment.
Yes.
I agree with it. I am, in fact, a Mormon of 16 years now. And of interest, too, I was raised in an evangelical Christian home. My husband and I attended seminary many years ago, and he was an ordained minister in what you'd call a mainstream church. We had questions, and that led us to joining the Mormon church. I'm not able to vote. I'm not yet a citizen, so I'm glad for the opportunity to weigh in on this. But what I would say is I would vote for Mitt Romney, not because he's a Mormon, but for what he stands for. And the other comment I'd make, too, is that I hope and pray that people will vote with their hearts, with their prayers, and not with any preconceived ideas born out of ignorance or fear. I believe we have a true leader that will lead us in the right way for our entire country and for the world.
Mm. Hey, Julie, first, welcome to America these years, and glad that you can vote. And obviously, as a follower of Jesus who is not a Mormon and who rejects the Book of Mormon, I'm sad for the path that you and your husband took. But here's my hope. If Mitt Romney is elected, I am hoping that it will force a national focus on what Mormons really believe and whether their teaching is true or false, whether Joseph Smith was a real prophet or not. And rather than his election, I'm just giving you my perspective, which, of course, you're going to differ with, but I'm going to be as forthright and honest as you were, that rather than his election bringing in many people into the Mormon faith, because it would mainstream, and hey, if we have a Mormon president, then it must be mainstream, and he's Christian like everyone else. My hope is it will actually be the reverse. It would focus on things and expose where Mormons are not true followers of Jesus or the Scripture, and therefore bring out a national discussion. Hey, Julie, I welcome you to call in again when we have some discussions about what Mormons really believe, which I plan to do in the coming days. And you can feel free to call in. We can have some healthy differences expressed at that time. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Friends, we need to get back to preaching the gospel. We need to get back to understanding what the gospel is. And I have a book that will not only inspire you, it will instruct you. As I was looking at it over the weekend, getting ready to preach, I thought, wow, I've got to get this in the hands of my listeners. I've been saying that the last 2 hours. If you don't yet have a copy of my book, it's time to rock the boat. We republished it together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God. So it's two books together in one. They will bless you, stir you, inspire you, instruct you. Trust me on that. If you're not blessed, we'll send you your money back. I have no question these books will impact you. All right? So two books together is one. We'll pay the postage and also give you as a gift my CD message that you can listen to in your car or on your computer, What Happened to All Your Joy, where we really look at what Scripture says about the joy of the Lord, find out how we lose it, how to recover it, with a story on there you'll never forget. Get all these resources together, just $20 postage paid, but call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or just go online to askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore. You can order online, or again, you can call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, to repeat yet once more, do not put all your passion into the upcoming election. Yes, vote, yet get involved, but put your passion into being a disciple and going out and making disciples. That's why we're here.